Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, and earned a law degree from South Texas College of Law. He served the YMCA for 43 years, the last 18 of which as the president and CEO of the YMCA of Metro Detroit. Most recently, he and his team have started the YMCA Detroit Leadership Academy, a K-6 charter school in the Brightmoor community. His name? Reed Thibault. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Reed Thibault, who's been the president and CEO of the YMCA of Metropolitan Detroit since 1994. An icon in this community. Reed, welcome and honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. Be happy to. As you mentioned in the introduction, I was born and raised in Sydney, Nova Scotia on Cape Breton Island. My mother and father, native Cape Bretoners, and grew up in a pretty typical small community of about 7,500 people in just west of Sydney, the big city of about 25,000. My mom and dad were in the jewelry and hardware business, and kind of an interesting combination. And so I got exposed to everything from cufflinks to toys at Christmas to Coleman floor furnaces come winter.
What's the biggest thing, Reed, you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, gee, so many different things. I think from my mother, to really never give up, to be persistent in the things you wanted to accomplish in life. My dad had a very optimistic attitude. Regardless of the challenge, regardless of the setback, his view on life was, as long as I'm breathing, I've got an opportunity to make tomorrow better and to use the time wisely to do that.
And your mom?
My mom, as I said, really persistent. She was a great support to him, and probably had a certain amount of business acumen. I think my dad was probably a little more of a salesman, and my mom was sort of a back office person. She wasn't particularly a good cook, so I probably grew up similar to many families today, with two working spouses and those kinds of lifestyle.
You and your wife, Kathy, are extremely passionate about the wings. And
yes.
Not everybody knows that a young Reed Thibault was a very, very good hockey player. Talk about that.
Well, I'm not sure about how good, but I did have the opportunity to go to school in Minnesota at St. Mary's College, now St. Mary's University, and to play hockey and to get a college education. It was just a great opportunity. I loved the game. It really was, in many ways, a ticket to the United States, as I mentioned, to go to school and play a game I loved. Got a great education. Kathy's rather a newcomer. She was born and raised in Southern California and really didn't get exposed to hockey until we started dating. And then when we moved to Detroit, of course, now she's, if she's not the Wings' number one fan, she's certainly among them.
Reed, what does hockey teach us about life?
I think, again, the importance of adaptability. You go into every game with a certain game plan in mind, certain roles to play, but almost immediately after the puck drops, everything changes radically. And so while you have a certain plan, the strength of that plan is to have a certain adaptability to it, to respond to opportunity, to minimize some of the negative setbacks, to persist through some of the setbacks, and continue towards the goal.
How did you get from Nova Scotia to Minnesota to then South Texas to get a law degree from South Texas College of Law?
Well, after graduating from college, I knew pretty much what I didn't want to do, but had less of a clear view or vision of what I wanted to do. And I had an opportunity to teach school in Rochester, Minnesota. I loved working with young people. I did some volunteer work when I was in college in that regard. And so when the teaching position opened up, I went to Rochester and taught school. At the end of that school year, came to the conclusion, however, that I wanted to do something else, and that would require continuing education. And that's ultimately what led me to Houston, an opportunity to go to grad school. While in grad school, I started working part-time at the Y, and eventually came to the conclusion that that was a direction that I really wanted to go. And so went full-time with the Y, worked with the Y in Houston, where I started, then on to Oklahoma City, St. Louis, and in 1975 came back to Houston. And that was my first executive job. During that time, there were a lot of changes in the organization, and it became clear to me, having some understanding of the law, particularly from a development standpoint, contractual relationships, human resource administration, would be very helpful in advancing my career, and that really is one of the reasons I went to law school. That coupled with the fact that my mom in particular didn't view the Y as a job and felt that I should probably find more gainful employment and encouraged me to go to law school. So the combination of the two really is what caused me to pursue the law.
We're talking to Reed Thibault, and for the last 43 years, his vocation has been to serve America through the YMCA. And the YMCA mission simply is to put Judeo-Christian principles into practice through programs that build healthy spirit, mind, and body for all. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Reed Thibault, who since 1969 has served the YMCA in Dayton, Houston, Oklahoma City, St. Louis, and since 94, Detroit, Michigan. Reed, tell us about the YMCA.
Well, the Y is, I think, a very special organization. As you mentioned, Jack, it was actually founded in England, so it is a global organization in 1844. And basically at that time, it was to provide a wholesome environment for young men. You know, those were the days where single-gender organizations were pretty prevalent. And so it was to provide young men with a wholesome environment who were coming into the city, the cities of England at the time, searching for work to be part of the Industrial Revolution. And in those early days, Bible reading, positive peer influence was all part of the early kind of Y programming. The Y came to North America and started in Montreal and Boston roughly around 1850. And not too long afterwards, the Y in Detroit began in 1852, again with the same sort of general mission of helping people develop to their greatest potential, creating wholesome environments, exposing young people in particular to positive adult role models. And those basic concepts are much a part of the Y today as they were back in the beginning.
You mentioned, Reed, that the Y, second city in America after Boston, was Detroit 160 years ago.
Yep.
So when the Y came here, there was no Ford, GM, Chrysler, no Hudson's, no Stroh's, no Verner's, no Vago, no Kroger, Kresge, Detroit News, no Bridge. That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. In fact, in the relatively recent Detroit 300 celebration, the Y was recognized as, I believe, one of the three longest-serving organizations of any nature still in existence here in Detroit. Very rich history.
I believe that the YMCA is one of the greatest institutions in American history.
Well, you'd not get an argument from me, certainly.
Do you think your mother would agree now after 43 years?
I would hope so. I would hope so.
Let's talk about some of the activities today that the Y provides.
Yes, as an overview, virtually all of the Y programs and services could be categorized into three or four themes. One certainly is in youth development. We're still one of the largest serving not-for-profit child care, child development organizations in the country, and we have a very large child care program as well as after-school programming for kids here in Detroit. We're perhaps the nation's largest swim instructor, so aquatic instruction, lifeguard training, those kinds of programs, both from a recreation and skill development standpoint, are very much a part of our overall youth development offering, as well as in healthy living, because swimming is really a lifetime sport. In addition, youth sports, a variety of fitness and wellness programs, camping, both resident camping and day camping are huge program areas for us. Education, you mentioned in your opening about the Y being involved in charter school development and operation, certainly is a growing program area for us because I believe if we have a future here in Southeast Michigan and specifically Detroit, we've got to upgrade the quality and access to strong schools, strong academically and strong from a total youth development standpoint. And I think we're making progress.
We have 12 branches in metropolitan Detroit in the 18 years that you've been leading it, and you mentioned swimming. Well, one young lady in Livonia that learned how to swim at the Y, Sheila Tormina, we had her as a guest a couple years ago. She won a gold medal in swimming in 96. And Reed, I don't know if you ever met her, but she is the only woman in history to compete in the Olympics in three different sports: swimming, triathlon, and modern pentathlon. And she's been world champion in all three.
Absolutely. I've not had the personal opportunity and literally joy to meet Sheila. I've heard her speak several times on television and those kinds of things. And I think she's a great example of someone who really is pursuing and, in many cases, fulfilled her potential.
If you want to learn more about the Y in Detroit, www.ymcadetroit.org. Reed, let's go back to 2003. The city's on its knees, downtown area, and you and the board make a decision to build a world-class facility in downtown when it was a ghost town. Why?
Well, there were a lot of good things happening, at least the beginning of good things in terms of revitalizing the city. We had actually sold the old downtown Y at Witherell. Actually, in the history of the Y, it's often referred to as the new downtown Y because it's actually the second building that the Y developed here in the city. But when we made that decision to be part of the development of the new stadiums, which one of the contributing contributions that the Y made was providing part of the site for the ballpark development. We spent a fair amount of time trying to decide what role would we play in the continued revitalization of the city. There was a lot of internal discussion around, you know, should those investments, particularly of a capital nature, be focused exclusively on the suburbs. And through a number of discussions, meetings, we did a number of market assessments of not only the downtown community as it was, but hopefully as it would be looking ahead to the future. And we came to the conclusion that we didn't want to sit on the sidelines. We wanted to be part of the re-energizing, revitalization of the city. And in order to do that, we had to make an investment. And so that was really the motive. We'd been part of the city for a number of years, well over a century, a century and a half. And it just we just couldn't see not being part of its future.
The facility opened in 2005. Can you describe what actual components, facilities you have at the Downtown Y today?
In many respects, Jack, there are actually three YMCAs inside that facility. And you're right, it is a world-class facility. I've had the opportunity to visit a number of buildings around the world, as a matter of fact. And I would put the YMCA, Downtown Y, the Bull YMCA, among certainly some of the finest facilities in the country. But those three Ys, one is focused on child care and child development. The other is on healthy lifestyles, healthy living practices. And the third area is arts, arts and humanities. In addition to a number of art classes, we have opportunities for emerging artists to display their art, both creative art and performing arts. We have a 200-seat theater there. So it's a very unique combination of the celebration of really humanity.
You mentioned that it's the Bowl facility.
Yes.
After John and Marlene Bowl, B-O-L-L.
Yes.
Tell us about that couple.
Well, John and Marlene, I've gotten to know over the years. They're just phenomenal individuals. They care deeply about people. They care deeply about the city of Detroit. And when they found out that we were in the early stages of planning on a development, they really wanted to be a part of it. Ultimately, they became the leading individual donors in the capital campaign for that project, and to recognize their many contributions, not just their funding, that certainly was important, but their guidance, their counsel, their insight. They gave us permission to name the facility in honor of the family.
Not many people know that Marlene was a Rockette.
That's correct, yes. And I think she probably could offer a few steps even today. I say even today. She's such a fine person, great energy.
We're talking to Reed Thibault, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Reed Thibault, who's been the president and CEO of the YMCA of Metropolitan Detroit since 1994. Reed, who uses the downtown Y?
You know, Jack, I actually get asked that question quite often, and the best way to, I think, respond is anyone and everyone who is part of downtown. And what I mean by that, people who work there, certainly, and live someplace else, people who work there and live there, people who live downtown and then work someplace else. In addition, you know, there are a tremendous number of people who live and work throughout southeastern Michigan that have deep roots in Detroit. And they continue to belong to churches in the city. They continue to support any number of organizations, civic organizations, others. And the Y is part of that. So we actually have people who live and work in suburban communities, but they like being part of the downtown environment and part of the Y. And so there really isn't any, single segment of the population. I had an opportunity to work out there a few weeks ago prior to a Wings game, as a matter of fact. And, you know, when you work on a project, particularly from the conceptualization part of the project, you imagine all of the different things it can be. And when we were working on it, we really wanted to be a place and provide people with a sense of place for everyone. And as I was on the treadmill doing fewer miles today than I once did, literally every age group, every culture, every race, I don't know their religion particularly, but anyone and everyone who makes up the city was there. And it just was a great feeling.
If you want to learn more, www.ymcadetroit.org. Reed, there's more excitement, hope. There seems to be a new spirit developing about Detroit. Do you sense that?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. And I, from the very beginning, when I had the opportunity to come to Detroit, I really viewed it as a city whose best days were really ahead of it as opposed to its past. And that isn't to take anything away from the history. Obviously, Detroit has a phenomenal history of over 300 years. But I still believe that the city has tremendous potential. It's beginning to attract more and more young people into the city. Those young people are going to want to stay. They're going to want to live here. They're going to want to have children here. They're going to want to send their kids to schools here. Now, we've got to make sure that we have great schools for those kids to go to. And we've got to make sure that we have safe neighborhoods in which those families, and particularly those young families, can raise their kids. And we've got to have the kinds of high-quality amenities that any community has if we're going to sustain that optimism that we all share at the moment. And I think the Y can be a big part of that.
We're talking to Reed Thibault. Reed, speaking of schools, 2010, you and the board decide the Y should start a charter school. Everybody wants a charter school. So you start now today. We have a K through 6 in the Brightmoor community at Telegraph and I-96. Why get into the charter school business?
Well, again, you know, one of our fundamental principles is to develop human potential, and particularly in young people. And you can't begin any conversation, particularly in today's world, global world, without talking about education and education opportunity. And as we were continuing to talk to any number of people in the community, what role should the Y play in developing healthy kids? It kept coming back to education. We had the opportunity to obtain a charter from Central Michigan University, which is our authorizing university. And we had certainly the organizational will and capacity to develop a school. We had a tremendous relationship with the Archdiocese regarding identification of potential schools that could be renovated and brought online. We were able to recruit some of the finest educators who were here locally, but were looking for an opportunity to run their own school, you might say. And so we had the people, we had the organizational support, we had the will, we had the facility. We certainly had the reputation in the city as doing good things for families and kids, and we did it.
Speaking of talent, the superintendent you selected was Ms. Shawn Hill. Tell us about her.
Well, Shawn is a very special individual. You know, she has an attitude about doing whatever it takes to serve kids and whatever it takes to have a great school. And, you know, in the development of any new entity, whether it's a school or a business or a Y, regardless of the plan, you've got to have the, I think the strength of attitude, positive attitude, to get you through those periods. And she's that person. Plus, she has an approach of no excuses. So in terms of high expectations for the quality of staff that we have at the schools to perform and make sure those kids receive the highest quality academic education, as well as the support they need if they run into any other issues outside the classroom. Again, no excuses gets in the way for that academic performance.
Speaking of students, how have you selected these 300-plus lucky students?
Well, as is the case with any charter school, it's open enrollment. So there really is no selection process. We make aware in the community that the school is available. We take every opportunity to get parents and students to the school so they can see the environment, they can meet the teaching staff, they can meet the school leadership, and then they make the decision whether to enroll or not. There are obviously space limitations, and if we reach those space limitations, then you have to go to an open lottery system. But there's no pre-qualifying selection process. It's whoever comes.
What's been the results so far?
Well, it's still early, but I'm very confident that we will get the kind of academic results we all want. We're seeing individual student progress at every grade level with every student, and that's moving the program in the right direction. We didn't do as well on, frankly, the MEEP tests last time as we had hoped. But we see by tracking literally on a quarterly basis, in fact, on a monthly basis, student progress, that, again, we're moving those academic scores in the right direction. And I think in the very near future, we'll achieve the kind of results on standardized tests we all want as well.
We're talking to Reed Thibault. Reed, one common theme that I hear over and over with schools that are having success in inner cities, be it University Prep, Math Corps, Cornerstone, Cristo Rey, Loyola High School, Beyond Basics, is they have an adult partner mentor with the student. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think having a positive influence in the lives of these kids, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a volunteer mentor, whether it's a Y program person, is absolutely essential to their development. You know, I realize this is a general statement, but so many of these kids grow up in a less than positive environment, and they don't have a lot of positive role models in their lives. They don't even have a lot of people who can say to them, hey, you can do this, you can do more, you can do better. And having that type of positive adult relationship with a kid is irreplaceable to that child having the confidence to try new things and frankly, to learn.
We're talking to Reed Thibault, who's the president and CEO of Metropolitan Detroit YMCA. When we come back, we're going to ask him, what does a president / CEO of a Y do all day? And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Reed Thibault. And from 2004 to 2006, his chief volunteer officer was a good friend named John Carter, who's also vice president of Chase Bank. And John Carter says this about you, Reed. You are a fantastic listener and extremely good at bringing people together. Now, I'm not sure that Kathy says it every day about Reed, but that's what John Carter says. A classy man, classy man. What, other than listening and bringing people together, what do you do all day?
You know, Jack, my kids ask me that all the time. You know, I'm reminded of an experience I had in my first CEO job, and the board chairman at the time and myself visited with the YMCA CEO in another city, and we were looking for good ideas and things. And towards the end of that meeting, my board chair asked him that very question, you know, what do you do with your time? How do you use your time? And the response back that he gave at the time, I'm the only one in the organization that has time to think. And so that's how he described his role. On the plane ride back to Dayton, my board chairman looked at me and said, Reed, we expect you to do a lot more than think. And so I have to start out by, I do think. I do have, by and large, the opportunity to think long term. So many of our staff are focused at meeting, you know, the immediate needs, responding to immediate issues. And I get involved in some of those things as well, but I've got a great team around me that really spends most of their time addressing those things. So the opportunity to think about the future and then what is it going to take to bring resources together to help us pursue that future.
God has really blessed you, Reed, and in one way with these chief volunteer officers, the board chairs. Listen to this list. Jim Nicholson, Doug Rasmussen, Chip Miller, Pearl Holforty, Ben Maybach, Larry Johnson, Bert Farbman, John Carter, Matt Cullen, current Ron Dennewith. My goodness. You'd win a lot of Stanley Cup championships with those.
Oh, absolutely. And Bill Baer is another part of that list as well. And you're right. I couldn't agree more. I've been extremely blessed to have an opportunity to work with those men and women. And each one gave me an opportunity to learn something both about myself and about the organization and how to make sure the Y is vibrant and service-oriented.
Speaking of learning, you're around young people all day. That's your team, young. And then so many of the people that use the facilities are young. What has Reed Thibault learned from these young people?
Oh, I think the energy, you know, the it's an almost an optimistic energy that young people bring, whether it's as a program participant trying to better themselves in some way or learn a new skill. Staff, particularly young staff, are always challenging. You know, I think one of the drawbacks sometimes in a CEO position is there's a presumption that CEO knows everything and ultimately will make the right decision and all these kinds of things. But if that goes unchallenged, particularly from a different point of view and a different perspective, you know, sometimes that doesn't work out for the CEO or the organization. And I find young staff who look at the world very differently than I do. They grew up at a different time. They've been exposed to technology in a different way. They challenge, not in a negative way or critical way, but they challenge from the standpoint, are we thinking about everything that will have a consequence? And that's very energizing for me. I mean, I have to be on my game every day.
It's the playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
Yeah. Your current campaign is called Strong Kids Campaign. Tell us about that.
The Strong Kids Campaign is our annual fundraising campaign where individuals have an opportunity to make a contribution and investment, really, in the work of the Y. We provide well over $2 million in scholarships and financial assistance to young people and families in need. And some of that need is transitory. What I mean by that is that maybe a few years ago they were employed and, you know, there were no issues. But now, for any number of reasons, they're in transition and need a helping hand, frankly. And the Y has some limited financial capacity to be able to meet that need. And that's a result of contributions that are raised through the Strong Kids campaign.
Reed, as we've said before, 43 years you've been serving America through the Y. How long are you going to keep doing this?
You know, that's another question I get asked quite a bit.
You must have started when we were 12 years old.
I did start young. You know, I think as long as I feel I'm making a contribution and particularly the leadership of the organization feels I'm making a contribution. You mentioned the names of some of the chairs that I've worked with in the past and certainly am working with now. And, you know, those folks care deeply about the organization. They want us to succeed and be of service. And they have an expectation. They have a leader who contributes to that effort every day. And I think as long as they feel that I can make that contribution and I myself feel, then I hopefully, God willing, I'll be here to fulfill those responsibilities.
Everybody that knows you and has been around you will utter what John Carter says. You are fantastic at bringing diverse people with different priorities, motives together, get them to work together for a common good. How do you do that?
I think the underlying principle I always start out with when I start working with a group or with individuals, do we share a common goal? And what I mean by that is that common goal to be better, to do more, to be more successful together than we could be as apart. That usually requires some compromise, some consensus building, some adaptation, and that's all part of the coming together process. And again, I think the dynamics behind that are pretty exciting and energizing. So, and as long as everyone knows that we'll come out the other end much stronger and better to serve, then I'm willing to invest the time to help make that happen.
As the leader of Metropolitan Detroit Y, what goals and dreams do you still have, Reed Thibault?
Well, I think we continually want to strengthen the Y. We continually want to put the Y in a position financially and from a service standpoint and from a leadership standpoint to be here another 160 years. And I think about, you know, both my role and the role of the current leadership in ensuring and making that happen. You know, we always need to attract new capital into the organization to fuel that growth, whether it's from new program development and innovation or making sure the facilities we have in place are in like new and fully functioning condition. So I'm sure at some point in the future we'll look for ways to attract that capital. We may have to be more creative than in the past, but certainly spending time thinking that through and developing the groundwork and support for that kind of effort will be part of our future. And then just making sure every one of our facilities and our programs are safe and fulfilling the goals of those programs. That in itself is a demanding task on a daily and long-term basis.
Reed Thibault, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Well, I think, first of all, you as an individual can make a difference. I know there are a lot of real and perceived obstacles out there that might cause people to think they can't make a contribution to the city or to the metro area or their very own neighborhood. But they can. You know, maybe it's as simple as picking up trash, you know, walking to school, or playing a role, a leadership role, or some other support role in a not-for-profit organization serving their community. But look for ways to make a difference and get involved. That plus a commitment to continual learning, because there are so many changes going on in our world. You know, something happens in Southeast Asia or Europe, and it really impacts how we are able to live our life here in Michigan and the United States. So being educated on the world is really important.
Reed Thibault, you have and you continue to make a huge difference in the lives of tens of thousands in Southeast Michigan. So thanks much and keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn. You two looks like you're the only one.